Conference Committee Work Session, March 20th, 1997, HJR 85, HB 3511, 5:45 p.m., Hearing Room A, Tape 1, Side A.
Why not? Doesn't that fit everything else? Exactly. All right, good evening. We'll convene the Conference Committee on House Joint Resolution 85. Could we have it quiet, please? And House Bill 3511. Jim, if you would explain the documents the committee has in front of it.
You should have before you copies of the HJR 85, the Senate and House passed versions, with the explanations as to what was encompassed in each one of them, and many of you know what that is already. You also should have before you a set of amendments, the Dash 46 amendments, that in effect incorporate some changes to those bills that we just talked about, the Senate and House passed versions. We have laid these amendments out in the form of reproducing the entire measure so that you can see exactly what it looks like. We did that both so you could see it here tonight, and because the way that our process works here, when this is printed, if we did not do it this way, you would just see a set of printed amendments, and they never do get engrossed for people to see unless we do it this way. So that's why we laid them out this way. I will go through the amendments and explain where changes have been made where the changes have been made from the Senate passed version, in effect, or those items that have sort of been at issue between the two. So what these amendments do, first of all, is go back to the House measure, the A. Engross measure, because they received the Senate amendments. Go back to the A. Engross measure, but then they erase that and then simply reproduce a new version of the measure. And the language that you see on the first page there is essentially the same in both versions. This is going through the calculation of the value limitation, down through the second page, where that should be, the only adjustments that have been made through the second page are simply technical amendments that the Senate made. Down through the third page, unless we're trying to get down to where that first change is. The first significant change is excuse me a second.
Which one are you looking for?
Just a second. I'll get there. Okay, the first, here we go. The first significant change, other than the technical amendments that the Senate adopted, and this is a difference in both versions, is on line 17 to 20 of page 5, where it's talking about divisions of districts, and there's simply a minor change here to guarantee that the limit determined when a district divides shall not be greater than the rate that would have produced the same amount of ad valorem tax revenue in the year of division had the division not occurred. The year was unclear in the previous version, and so that clarified that. Then, as you go over into page 6, beginning at the bottom, you will see in lines 27 through 31 that the local government pension and disability plan obligations are now incorporated in subsection 5, which means that they would be imposed between the rate limits, the Measure 47 type rate limits. They would be above those rate limits, but they would be below the Measure 5 limits. They would be subject to Measure 5 limits. And this is achieved by, in part, by moving them from where they were in the Senate-passed version into subsection 5 of the measure. Then as you go over onto page 7, in paragraph C, which begins on line 8, you'll see the rest of the description of the local government pension and disability plan obligations. And this language between lines 8 and lines 30 is generally new or different. And let me go through and say what each one of those paragraphs or subparagraphs does. First of all, in the definition of local government pension and disability plan obligations, down through line 11, it's basically the same. But then into line 12, it says that the taxes have been committed by a local government charter provision that was in effect on December 5th, 96, and if in effect on December 5th, 96, as amended thereafter. This is permitting, which was not permitted in the earlier versions, that a charter provision could be amended. The provision had to exist on December 5th, 96, but this would permit an amendment to that without losing the treatment of being outside of the rate limits yet inside of Measure 5. Okay, then the second paragraph, subparagraph there, incorporates something out of the Senate amendments that allows an adjustment to the maximum rate in the charter to account for the fact we're now imposing these taxes on assessed value rather than market. Then in subparagraph C, it's making it very clear that both the adjustments to the rates and the pension system themselves are subject to the Measure 5 limitations. That's what paragraph C is doing. Then in paragraph D, it's saying that if any proposed amendment to a charter, since now we are allowing an amendment and yet keeping this treatment, if it permits the tax levy to be increased, the amendment must be approved by voters. If you're making a charter amendment which would permit the tax levy that's permitted to be increased, then that has to be approved by voters under a double majority requirement. And then it's also making it very clear again that you can't exceed the Measure 5 limits by doing this. So if you go out and amend the charter in a way that allows the tax levy to be increased, that has to be done by a double majority. Okay, then the next change is over on the top of page 9. We're in the sections now that deal with ratification. This is in subsection 7, with ratification of levies that were approved before the effective date of this measure. And paragraph A of that subsection deals with levies that have achieved a double majority. And in generally what that paragraph does is permit those levies that achieve a double majority to be imposed at 100%, in other words, without rate reduction, and without reduction for the 17%, and to be incorporated into the permanent rate of the district. And the change that's made here is to move the qualification date for this treatment to December 5th, 96. And the effect of that is to deny this treatment for elections improved last March, or last week, and which was, or in the May election, which is coming up. So that elections approved under the, since the passage of measure, since the effective date of Measure 47, that achieved the double majority would simply be limited to whatever term that they were asked for and would not be incorporated into the permanent rates of the district. You see an equivalent change down in line 21 that deals with treating these as a local option. That's in paragraph C. So that things that fall before December 5th, 96 would be incorporated in the permanent rate under A. Things passed after that would not be incorporated in the permanent rate under C. Then under paragraph B, there's another change there. Paragraph B deals with levies that were approved at any time up for the next tax year, for the 97-98 tax year, but whose rate or dollar amount is not greater than some other levy that expired. So you're replacing an expired levy. And what this subsection or what this paragraph does is makes those kinds of levies, first of all, not subject to double majority, but also subject to the 17% cuts, but does allow them to go into the permanent rate. Now, this provision was in the Senate and the House passed bills. The change here is to allow this not only for serial levies, but for one-year levies. This fixes a situation in, I believe, Jefferson County, where they don't traditionally do serial levies. They do one-year levies to replace prior levies. Okay. The other amendments that have been made to this were all technical amendments that were made on the Senate side. The final significant amendment in this language here is that the forest land value changes that were in the Senate past version have been removed. So you will see them by not seeing them because they're not in here. So I can't really explain where they're not.
Hey, thank you, Jim. Are any questions of Jim at this time from the members? Senator Hartung?
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Senate recedes from the Senate amendments dated March 18th and that the A engrossed be amended by the dash B dash 46 amendments.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Hartung moves that the Senate recede from the Senate amendments dated March 18th and that the HJR 85A engrossed joint resolution be amended by the B 46 amendments. Is there discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Senator?
I just have one question of Jim. Jim, in the section that allows local taxing districts to divide, if one portion of the district separates from the rest of the district, is that the same thing as dividing?
If they divide geographically, I would think that's a division.
One section just says we want out and they vote on it and they get out.
Well, if that would be controlled by statute as to whether or not they could do it. This simply deals with what do you do to the tax rate when that
right.
occurs.
And I'm just
right.
asking, does...
I would think that would
that
be a division.
Okay.
Sure.
Any comments on the motion? I'd like just to say I appreciate the Senate's consideration of the House's position on this measure. Clearly, a majority of the House was not prepared to include the amendments in this resolution, but I do believe that there was merit and substance in those amendments and that they are worthy of further consideration by this legislature, and I do appreciate the Senate's cooperation.
Mr. Chair, we appreciate that. We would have preferred to have the bill that we passed, and recognizing that we can't get that passed, we're willing to accept this one.
Okay, thank you. Anything further?
Mr. Chair, I guess I would just like to say that I do hope we will deal with some of the issues that were left out of this bill. I think that we should have some fairness in the tax system and that all real property should be treated fairly and equitably, and I hope we can deal with that statutorily.
Okay, thank you. Any further discussion? If we could have a roll call, please.
Aye.
No, we got.
Aye.
We got.
Aye.
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 Aye. Amendments are approved. We have some papers in that regard. We also have House Bill 3511, the amendments to which are being circulated, and Jim will explain to us what those are.
You carry it.
I don't.
First, take the first use, yeah. I have to adopt the amendment into the. He'll explain it. And we'll adopt the B7 of 3511.
Oh, isn't what is the process going to be? He was always in 35. And move.
I was asked to be back tonight.
Is that the right one? Is that the right one?
No, to amend.
Oh.
When you say what the answer was, it was you.
So, yeah.
That's fine. Either way, it doesn't.
But the House of Concurrence and Amendments to the Emergency Use Act will be. House Concurrence and Senate Amendments as further amended by Dash.
Actually, Senator Baker does.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
With Neil, though, it
was. The way this is worded.
Ken's not going to be there tomorrow.
We have
some people in this.
We got these B7.
No, I can just explain them, and then you can always adopt. You can go through and adopt the amendments if you want, and then you can do it in two steps if you want.
Maybe we'll be back.
We can adopt
4787 and use the AG's.
Sure. Yeah, I don't think you need to have a vote.
Okay.
What?
Yeah, I'll do it without objection.
Then the motion is the House concur in the Senate amendments. And that the bill be amended as follows.
Word of fail.
And what does it mean if amended as follows?
Well, this is the amended by the dash, by the B7.
So you say, well, it's March 18th. And this bill passed as amended.
Let's see, this is going to be made.
Are we ready to go, Jim?
Open it.
Okay, we'll proceed with the Conference Committee on House Bill 3511. Jim, if you would explain the documents before us.
Okay, you have two versions of 3511. You have the House passed version, which set up the election requirements for HJR 85, including the ballot title and the explanation and the estimate of effect. The Senate amended the bill to make one minor technical change in the explanation of HJR 85, but in addition added the procedure and the ballot title and the rest for HJR 2. And
which is the prison.
Which is the prison industries resolution. And so you have the Senate passed version before you. You also have a proposed amendment which would change the ballot title for HJR 85 to add a sentence. And it adds that sentence if you're working off the B engrossed measure, which is what it amends. On page 2, in the third line, after the 17% there, the end of that sentence, it would insert another sentence that you see in the amendment. This reduction, in other words, the 17% reduction, will reflect Measure 47 cuts by basing the cuts on the lesser of 95-96 tax minus 10% or 94-5 tax adjusted for voter approval levy. That's the proposed sentence.
Any questions of Jim on the documents at all?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Beyer.
I move the B7 amendments.
Representative Beyer moves the B7 amendments to House Bill 3511. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections to that? All right. No objections, so ordered.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Beyer.
I move that the House concur in the Senate amendments dated March 18th and that the bill be amended as we just did with B7, and we concur.
Representative Beyer moves that the House concur with the Senate amendments as further amended. Is there any discussion? We have a roll call, please.
Aye.
Senator Durfler?
Aye.
Senator Duke?
Aye.
Senator Hartung?
Aye.
Senator
Miller?
Aye.
Chair Bryan? Chair's aye. House Bill 3511, I guess isn't the word is not adopted, but is approved by the conference committee, and both 3511 and HJR 85 will be submitted back to the Senate and the House.
No.
We have documents to sign. That concludes the festivities for the evening. Anything further by the committee? Committee's adjourned. Thank you very much.